this morning we were reading in Psalm 40. And I had taken, I had the idea that we would take some of the Psalms in the mornings, Psalms that are quoted in the New Testament. And this morning we took Psalm 40 because it followed so well on the theme of yesterday, which was about singing for Jesus, singing the new song. And they sang about it again. That was yesterday's devotional reading. And the theme that we had about singing, take my voice or keep my voice and let me sing always only for my King. And in Psalm 40 we read about the new song of praise that the Lord has given us. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And we want to sing that song and tell it out. And so we had opportunity to speak on this psalm this morning, and some of you mentioned in your talks the section that is quoted in the New Testament, but I'd just like to call attention to that again this evening. Verses 6 and 7 and 8 that say this: sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's a precious passage, and this psalm, as we know, is a psalm of David, and we ought to think of it as something that he uses as his testimony, as he reflects on God's goodness to him. This is part of his testimony. But then it's also right for us to consider that the Holy Spirit applied these words to the coming of our Lord Jesus to this earth from the glories of heaven. But first, we could think about it as a statement of David, and a statement that we could use also. It has to do with the relationship of our hearts to God, of all those who trust in Him, the proper relationship of the trusting heart. There's a principle stated here that God wants obedience from His people. He requires obedience. One of our theme songs here and in our church at home over all the years is Trust and Obey. I suppose many of you know that song by heart, but the chorus says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And one of the verses says, we never can prove the delights of His love. We've been singing about His love and thinking about that in these days. We never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So God isn't looking for just a ceremony when His people come to worship Him. He wants their hearts. Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah when he said, boy, Isaiah was talking about you right here, this people of my day, when he said, these people draw near to me with their lips. They say the right words, right? But their hearts are far from me. Therefore, they're worshiping me in vain. In vain. That's what their religion is. It's false. It's worthless. Because it's not from the heart. God wants our hearts. And He wants us to give ourselves to Him. David is speaking about a principle that you can find in a number of places, meaning you can find it all through the Bible, but there are places where it is explicitly expressed in the Word of God. Remember the story of Saul when he was told to go and slay the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15. Well, he was disobedient. He didn't do the whole job that he was told to do. And the prophet Samuel came to him and said something along this line. 1 Samuel 15. I mean, this was a serious thing. You know the story. It was at this point, as a result of this disobedience, that the Lord rejected Saul as king. He, in effect, although he remained king, the Lord, in effect, removed the kingdom from Saul at this time. And he said here, through his prophet Samuel, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" For Saul had kept some of the animals. He said, "I kept them for sacrifices." And Samuel said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Saul's disobedience was a very serious matter with God. And he sent his prophet to give him these words that really were troubling. It wasn't easy for Samuel not only to deliver the message, but to accept the truth of it. Why, he bore Saul on his heart. He did. He prayed for the people, and he was involved in the selection of Saul and the anointing of Saul and setting him forth as king. And this was something that troubled Samuel greatly. You find it in the prophets too. We've been speaking about Isaiah. Why don't we just quickly or briefly turn to the first chapter of Isaiah. And there we can read, Isaiah was called to speak against the sins of God's people, their rebellion. And he said, "Hear the word of the Lord." 10th verse. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." Was he speaking to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? No. This tells us something right here. Those are powerful words. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed many centuries earlier because of their sins. And now God is saying through his prophet Isaiah, he's calling his own people Sodom and Gomorrah. People that do not regard him, respect him, obey him from the heart. Here we go. "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the cause of the widow." I want action, yes. I'm not interested in these forms. I want service from the heart. Worship that is expressed in real deeds of mercy and kindness in my heart going out to others through you. You be my hands extended. Forget all these meaningless sacrifices, these forms, these days that you keep. They're nothing to me. In fact, they're more than nothing or worse than nothing. I can't bear them. Stop it with them, please. Just stop it. Now, I should say that subsequent to this, immediately, through the prophet Isaiah, my point is made in the verses that I read, but he says something that's very wonderful and precious. Something that is, I think, precious to all of us because this is familiar to us. He says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And he goes on describing the rebellion of the people, the treachery of their hearts, how unfaithful they are towards the one who has done so much for them, to whom they owe everything. Everything. Jeremiah, another prophet, the 7th chapter, right after Isaiah, says something similar, just as powerfully expressed why the Lord is speaking. Verse 21, Jeremiah 7. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go ahead, add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices, and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought your forefathers out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. From the time your forefathers left Egypt until now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets, but they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their forefathers." Hosea, the first of the minor prophets, they're called minor prophets because they're a little shorter in length, but they're just as important and just as wonderful. God spoke through these men, gave them his word. Hosea 6:6. It's a little shorter, this one, just one verse. "I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Jesus quoted this during his New Testament ministry, his ministry we read about in the Gospels. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." And one more, Micah 6, also a familiar word to many of you, I'm sure. Micah chapter 6. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord?" That's verse 6. We had Hosea 6:6, now Micah 6:6, 6, 7, and 8. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Catch that? That's really powerful. "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Listen, the Lord is calling to the city. God wants us to hear that he's after our hearts, our heart's affection. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And David's expressing that principle here in Psalm 40 when he says in his testimony to God's goodness that he realizes that God is not primarily after sacrifices and offerings. Now, he has, as we read in Jeremiah, he instituted that practice of sacrifices and offerings. Of course, we know that those sacrifices and offerings pointed forward to the one once for all offering when Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, would offer the all-atoning sacrifice for our sins that would have power to forgive us and to cleanse us and to change us, make us right before God. But David's expressing an important principle here. You didn't want sacrifice and offering as much as an obedient heart. You opened my ear. Our sister Linda testified to that this morning, that God somehow got through to her, spoke to her heart. You opened my ears, actually, it's plural here. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And there was a response in my heart. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. And now we know from the New Testament that this passage refers to the one who's called by the hymn writer, great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about that in Hebrews, don't we? Is it in the 10th chapter? Where the writer is writing about our great Savior and this great salvation and the once-for-all sacrifice that Jesus offered for us. And these words are referred to him. And again, we have David with the Spirit of the Lord speaking through him, just as he said at the end of his life. It says, these are the last words of David. The Spirit of the Lord was upon me. He spoke through me. So he did, again and again. And here he did too, for the Holy Spirit has the writer to the Hebrews apply these very words to Jesus. It says, when he cometh into the world. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. I'm reading from the NIV, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here am I. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Now, as Brother Vincent told us this morning, well, he didn't say exactly what I'm going to say, but he explained to us that this is not just for Jesus. I'm applying it to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said before that it was David's testimony. And he said that it ought to be our testimony, that we submit our will to the will that is higher, the way that is higher. My thoughts, my ways. God knows everything. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above yours and my thoughts above yours. Do you know what he says about people that persist in pursuing their own way and their own thoughts? He calls that wickedness. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to God. And when he does, what will God do? Abundantly pardon. But that pardon has to do with coming around and accepting this great salvation, which includes going God's way, yielding, surrendering everything to Him. And we heard some of this already this morning, and this evening I just wanted to stress that this word, which was David's testimony and ought to be ours, is exemplified for us perfectly, beautifully, in our Lord Jesus. Here, when He came into the world, He said, "I am going driven by love, divine love. I'm going to save. I'm going to fulfill the eternal purpose of God to save sinners and to have a people from this lost and dying world that will be saved to the praise of the glory of His grace. And I am giving myself," think of it, what condescension, bringing us redemption, "that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight," this was the only way, "God, gracious, tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul." And you see the one He later said, "Not my will, but thine be done. Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But Lord, nevertheless, not what I will, your will be done." And He just submitted Himself all the way along, all the way along in the incarnation and the life that He lived here, the perfect life of love. And all the way along, He followed the way that had been planned for Him. It was in God's eternal purpose. And He then laid down His life, all atoning sacrifice, once for all sacrifice offered for sins. And now He has taken His place at the right hand of God, having won the victory perfectly and fully, and now henceforth waiting till it be perfectly and wholly manifested. It says here, "till His enemies be made His footstool." He has triumphed gloriously, and He's looking for that day when all His enemies, the last enemy, shall be destroyed, and that song of triumph shall sound. Death is swallowed up in victory. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And this perfect obedience, this perfect submission, led to the perfect sacrifice, which was the only way for sinners like us to be saved. God had to come down to become one of us, to live our life and die our death, because He loves us so that we could be saved. And Jesus said, and it was in all the way, we like to sing, maybe you sing that too, "All the way to Calvary He went for me. He went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary He went for me. He died to set me free. Although I had so many, many sins, yet He took them all away when He pardoned me. Although I had so many, many sins, yet He took them all away when He pardoned me. All the way to Calvary He went for me. He went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary He went for me. He died to set me free." And the call is for us to go all the way, following Jesus all the way. I'll go with him all the way. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. I come to do your will, Lord. You write it in my heart. And Brother Vincent was telling us about that this morning, and I was interested that he went right into the new covenant blessings of forgiveness of sins. First lesson, he said, we must learn is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And isn't that wonderful? The basic foundational promise in the new covenant is, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's the one that Jesus pointed out when he held the cup before his disciples, said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for many for the remission of sins. He pointed that out. Here we are, just a motley crew of us here in this upper room. 12, just a group of Galileans. How important and eventful. I think sometimes we miss it, that here was this man before his small group announcing that the new covenant prophecy in Jeremiah is being fulfilled here and now. I mean, that's amazing. This cup, this is my body, this is my blood, the new covenant. But then the second one, we can call this the central provision of the new covenant, the promise, his law written. His law written on our minds and in our hearts. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, that doesn't come naturally. That's something that God does. That's something that God does in this wonderful blessing, the new covenant promise. I'll write my law on their hearts. I'll give them hearts that can receive that love for me, that desire to please me and live for me and do my will and follow me all the way. The light will shine and they will realize that this is to their advantage. Even if it means to lay down their lives, it is to their eternal advantage to follow me all the way, to do my will, to trust and obey from the heart, to love me with all the heart. Isn't this the first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And no one has ever done that. No one except Jesus has ever done that. You can't do that for 5 minutes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. But he can come to you and change you and work in you. That love, that response to his almighty eternal love for you. And that is grace divine. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. Now, to come to our theme for today. You think I'm going to preach another sermon, but no, just the next. I said to someone, how am I going to pull together the reading from this morning and the theme for today? Now look at Psalm 40. It's there for me. I didn't even have to. When I looked at it again, I said, wow. Next verse, ninth verse. It's to tell, right? Keep my lips that they may be filled with messages from thee. Let's just read those next two verses. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. In other words, I've spoken forth what you mean to me, what you are, how great thou art. When I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. I can hardly take it in, but as I do, I tell it forth. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. I don't hide it in my heart like Danny. He goes out and he preaches the gospel to these racers, and he prays with them. And so we're all called to share the good news of salvation, as it says in our devotion for today. We don't say our lips are our own. Too many people say that. You find that in the 12th Psalm. Who is Lord over us? Our lips are our own. We say what we want to say. There's nobody that tells me what to do or what to say. This is a free country, and I'm a free man. And God says true freedom is submitting to his will and doing what he says. Otherwise, you're a slave to your own will. Isn't that a terrible thing? What a bondage that is. Who is Lord over us? We're going to say what we want to say. We're going to think what we want to think and do what we want to do. And we have a Lord and a Master whom we are to love. We're called to worship and serve him. And here we can speak for him because he has called us to do so. He puts his words in our mouths. He touches our lips and cleanses them. And then, you know, that burning, cleansing flame. But then he puts his word in us. And, oh Lord, open my lips, David said, after he prayed that prayer for forgiveness and cleansing. He said, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. And that's what God wants from all of us, as we read right here. And that's what I wanted to say to you for tonight. Yield it to Jesus. If anyone's tongue, you know, the tongue is an unruly member. It's difficult to tame, but the Lord can tame it. He can bring it under control. And it's not just a negative thing, like not saying what we ought not to say, but it's also a positive thing, saying what he wants us to say, speaking for Jesus. In your devotional, some of you have this book, it says, it is terrible how much less is done for him that than might be done in consequence of the specious notion that if what we are doing or saying is not bad, we are doing good in a certain way, and therefore may be quite easy about it. Now, that's old-fashioned language. It means we don't get convicted, and we take it easy. It's okay as long as we're not doing something wrong with our lips. Then we're doing good. And Havergal calls that a specious notion. Anyway, what is that anyway? What does specious mean? Come on, you guys. Vocabulary. Oh, the teacher. Are you an English teacher?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have it right. It's going to be right. What is it?
An untruth that has the appearance of.
Yeah, it has the idea in it of good looking. You know, it looks good, but it's not. Something like the word plausible, not exactly, but it's similar to that. It looks good, it looks right, but it's not. So here's a notion that you should discard, just to think that, well, I'm refraining my tongue from evil. That's important, but that's not the whole story. You got to tell the good that God has given us, that message that he has given us to share. Think of it. To have a message like this and to keep it to ourselves is just, that's criminal, isn't it? Come on. We got to tell the story of Christ and his cross. And he'll help us. Some of us are reticent and hesitant. I guess that's natural, but God will help us. Fill us with his Spirit, touch our hearts with his love, and touch our lips, that out of the abundance of our loving hearts, the mouths might speak forth messages of peace, as we had, how beautiful, remember, upon the mountains are the feet of those who proclaim peace and good tidings of good, and publish salvation, who say, God is on the throne. The Lord reigns, and he is the Savior. It's time to spend a little time just presenting ourselves to God. I'd like it to be a very personal thing tonight, where you just take a little time before the Lord and say, oh Lord, Lord, give me the grace that I need to be all for Jesus. Take me, Lord, where my lips have not told forth your praise. Maybe they've been used for things that didn't please you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse my lips. Lord, touch me with your fire. Lord, fill me with your spirit and give me your word. Let my lips be filled with messages from you that will be a blessing to people around me. Oh, Lord, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your spirit. Fill my mind and my heart, Lord, and let the overflow be a blessing. What comes out of my mouth, let me speak for you, O Lord. I give myself to you. I consecrate my life. I give my heart to you afresh and anew. I say, Lord, You see how I am. You see how backward I am about sharing the good news. Give me holy boldness. Give me more of you. Help me to follow your example. Fill me with your spirit. Oh God, help me tonight. Let it be different from this night forth, Lord. Let's take a little time and just deal with God about this that we've heard tonight. Lord, don't let me be satisfied with a form of religion, some ceremony that I go through, going to church on Sunday morning and doing whatever the leaders tell me to do and the pastor says for the moment, and then going out and my heart being far from you. Lord, take my heart. Make it entirely yours. Touch me tonight, Lord. Grip me. Let your spirit speak to me. Translate the words that I've heard into a deep and holy and strong call in my heart to do your will along this line. Lord, make me stand strong for you. Help me to speak boldly for you, Lord. Your words of kindness, your words of hope, your words of salvation. Now take your books and open to 45 again. And just as we come to just spend some time asking God to help us and fill us with his spirit and help us to follow Jesus' example and all the way attitude. Let's sing that last verse. He knows how I am longing some weary soul to win, and so he bids me go and speak a loving word for him. He bids me tell his wondrous love and why he came to die, and so we work together, my Lord and I. Let's sing that together. He knows how I am longing some weary soul. Workers together with you. Oh God, stir my heart fresh and anew tonight, and all of us as we wait before you tonight. Hallelujah. Fill us with your spirit. We look to you, Jesus. Fill now with your spirit hearts that full surrender know that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Hallelujah. 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 You don't send us to work for you on our own, with our own ideas or our own words, but you give us your spirit, your love. We pray that we shall be those who are able to to speak clearly and compellingly under the Holy Ghost's anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now tonight, you may want to stand, you may want to kneel, you may want to pray aloud, but let's spend a little time just dealing with the Lord over this that we have been considering today. And He will touch us and do His work deep in our hearts. I believe that if we will open to Him, He will work in us tonight. Open your heart to Him in faith. Bow low before Him. Humble yourself before Him. Say, Lord, I need Your help. I need Your Spirit. And He's ready. We read this morning that acknowledgement, and one of you, I think it was Madison, called it to our attention. I am poor and needy, but the Lord is looking upon me. His thoughts are toward me, and He is my help. And so let us receive help from Him this evening. Feel free to call on Him. If someone wants to lead us in prayer, just reach out. Ask Him to fill you more and more with Himself and with the love that sent Him to Calvary. Let it possess us, Lord. Oh, we love You tonight. We want to love You more. We need You, Lord, tonight. And we thank You that You're here for us to help us. Lord, we've often failed You along this line, and we confess it. And Lord, we need You to come and touch us and stir us, oh God, that we might be all for You, Lord. Hallelujah. Channels only, blessed Master. Out in our lives, oh Lord, fill me more. perhaps there are those here in this meeting who'd like to join me up here in the middle and just pray that God will fill us and touch us, touch our hearts and warm our hearts with His love, and touch our lips and fill our mouths with His praises and with His messages. Perhaps there's someone here that would like to call on God with me here. Pray for me. Let's pray one for another. Why not seek God and call on Him together? Feel free to pray one for another tonight and just call on the Lord for a short time. He can do much in a brief time tonight before we go to our places. He wants to bless you and help you in your need, and I believe that He's here to do just that. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus, our Savior. We come to You tonight to be filled more and more with Your Spirit. Take my lips and let them be
burning in my soul, the Holy Life.